Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Ethan Slater,
who is now a hometown hero because you just got nominated for a freaking Tony Award as the lead role in SpongeBob SquarePants on Broadway. Congrats so much on the Tony nomination.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's really surreal.
I know, right? You probably wait your whole life and you work towards it on so many different stages. And what's it feel like to finally be able to slap that accolade on? From now on, your name's going to have that.
I know. It's pretty amazing. Like, I'm not going to lie. I feel pretty amazing about it. It's like to be a part of the legacy of the Tony Awards, which is something that I have watched every year since I was a kid. I've been such a fan of, not just of the night, but of all of the performers who are involved with it. To be a part of that is amazing. I have to say, though, it feels pretty amazing to have our show be nominated so highly. We got 12 Tony nominations, which is incredible. And it's really awesome to see, like, all of these people that I've been working with for so long who are working so hard at the top of their game and have put so much love and energy into the show, being recognized with these nominations sort of from top to bottom. It's a special thing to be a part of.
Absolutely. SpongeBob this year leads the nominations it tied Mean Girls for the most with,
yeah,
I think you said 12.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a big honor right there, especially if you guys could take the top prize. That would be really cool. But in terms of when you're sitting there on Tony night, you're going to be in the lead actor for a musical category against Harry Hayden Patton, Joshua Henry, Tony Shalhoub. But on the play side, you're sharing a room with Denzel Washington and Mark Rylance and Andrew Garfield. What's it going to be like and Amy Schumer, Glenda Jackson? What's it going to be like to sitting next to all these legendary, iconic actors, and you're right there nominated alongside them?
I'm gonna do my best not to be starstruck. It's gonna be wild, but it's gonna be fun to like sort of celebrate the community. I don't know what I'm gonna do being so near Denzel Washington. Like I don't know. That's so crazy.
Yeah, and Tina Fey, because Mean Girls is. I mean, it's gonna be a start. You're gonna be surrounded, so it's gonna be great. I will say, I do love that every time I mention, how awesome is it gonna be individually. You always pivot it to the show. I love it. That you're a humble dude. I love it. No, it's true. It's a collaborative effort. So if our listeners, obviously everybody knows SpongeBob from the show, but if they're not familiar with the musical, maybe they haven't gone up to Broadway to see it yet. Explain the story of what, the plot of the musical.
So the basic story is that there's a volcano that is about to erupt in Bikini Bottom, which is where SpongeBob and all of his neighbors live. And
in a pineapple
the town,
under the sea.
In a pineapple, exactly, yeah. Next to his starfish friend who lives under a rock. And they have to figure out how to stop the volcano before it destroys the town. But they also have to figure out how to save the town from itself when the fear of the impending apocalypse starts to change the way everybody acts towards each other. So it's really a story about community and how they react in the face of fear. And if you don't know anything about the musical, one of the really cool things about it is that the score was written by like this array of different stars of the music world. They wrote original songs for the show. So there's an original song by John Legend and by Cyndi Lauper and by Aerosmith, Plain White Tees, Panic at the Disco. The list just goes on and on.
David Bowie.
David Bowie, yeah, exactly.
Steven Tyler, it's like, yeah.
It's like it's an unbelievable score. And it's weaved together in a way to that it actually works as a single unit. There's Tom Kitt, who wrote Next to Normal and did he also did the music supervising for American Idiot, if anyone saw that.
Yeah.
He took the score and he weaved it together to make a really cohesive unit while still like keeping the flavors of each of the individual songs. So it's a really unique and new type of score.
Do you have a favorite song that you get to do night in and night out?
Oh, it really changes. I mean, there are so many really good ones that I get to sing. I would say, like, I think one of my favorites is the John Legend song, I Guess I Miss You. Mm-hmm. It's, like, really beautiful. And I get to sing this duet, this longing duet with my real-life best friend, Danny Skinner, who plays Patrick. It's a really special moment every night.
That's awesome. Now, now you are, I believe, 25, about to turn 26.
Yeah.
So did you grow, and you obviously grew up in D.C., did you grow up watching SpongeBob, or is it more like your little siblings watching it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it came out when I was like 6 or 7.
Oh, perfect.
So it was like the perfect age for me. I didn't really watch a lot of it at home, but I would watch it at friends' houses, you know, after school. But it was, you know, so it was definitely like a big part of my childhood. But I didn't watch a ton of it in my actual home. We didn't really watch TV that much.
It's got to be crazy. If you could go back and sit next to your, you know, 7-year-old self and on the couch at your friend's house and point at the TV and say, you know, you're going to play that crazy squared pants animated under the sea sponge character. What would your 7-year-old self say back to you?
No way. No way. It doesn't seem like a real thing, but I mean, you know, sort of like everyone, when I really first off the bat heard that there was going to be a show, created by, about SpongeBob, I was skeptical. You know, like I got the audition when I was, you know, like a sophomore in college, and, for about 12 hours, I was like, oh, well, this is like a crazy idea. And then, you know, the reason I say for only 12 hours is because then I went into the audition room with the director, Tina Landau, and she is just like, totally visionary. And like, you know, from the get-go, it was this really important thing to her that it wasn't an arena show, that I'm not wearing like a big square foam costume, which is sort of the first thing that people tend to think is that I'm square.
Right.
but, you know, I'm just wearing a button-down shirt and pants. And that was very clear from the get-go for her that this was, these were the human representations of these characters and like figuring out a way to like really get in there in an innovative way. You know, her vision has sort of led the way every step of this process. So I totally bought in quickly.
That's awesome that you, to steal a Seinfeld phrase, that you were sponge-worthy. So, all right, so tell me more about growing up in D.C. What schools did you attend, and how did you get into theater and performing arts?
Yeah, I went to the Charles E. Smith Jewish Day School until 8th grade, when I switched to Georgetown Day School, which is in Tenleytown. You know, I did school plays here and there throughout elementary school. I did the Music Man in fifth grade, you know, like little things here and there just because it was like an extracurricular activity that I really loved.
Right.
And then in high school, I got more and more into it with each passing year. You know, I started taking voice lessons at the Levine School of Music and invested a little bit more in this as more than an extracurricular activity. But it was at GDS that I really feel like I learned a lot about myself as a theater maker. Because we had an amazing department, you know, we had an amazing theater department where they trusted the students to take on more than they thought they could. and so we were, you know, led by these ambitious projects where the students were designing the shows and building the shows themselves. And, you know, we did The Producers my junior year, and it's like still one of the best shows I've ever done. So it was really formative, my GDS theater education.
In addition to your actual formal schooling and theater arts classes and things like that, how about just at home, on the home front? Were your parents really encouraging of you to do musical theater? Did you put on plays in the living room? Or, you know, tell me about that end of it.
Yeah, they were definitely encouraging. I mean, when I was doing The Music Man in fifth grade, I don't remember this specifically, but apparently I did performances every night to make sure that I knew what I was getting myself into. Yeah, everyone was always incredibly supportive. I don't think it was something that they really thought would be a career for me. But as soon as I, you know, started getting jobs and pursuing it professionally, they continued to be incredibly supportive, and they still are. I also, like, you know, I went to theater camps. I went to, like, the Shakespeare Theater Camp and Roundhouse. You know, there was a lot of support that I got from my family.
Nice. So after Vassar College up in Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, how did you transition actually to New York City proper, to Broadway, and what other sort of, like, early shows did you do early in your Broadway days? Off Broadway even.
Yeah. I mean, this is my Broadway debut.
Awesome.
This is my first Broadway show, which is pretty awesome. And I started working on it when I was in college still. I was a sophomore at Vassar, and I was this was like my first summer job in New York. Was doing a workshop of SpongeBob.
Oh, wow.
And so I would go back and forth from Poughkeepsie for workshops and for reading. But while I was there, I've done mostly plays. I mean, I have done a lot of musicals, but I've done a lot of plays also in New York with One Year Lease Theater Company. We did a show called Please Excuse My Dear Aunt Sally at 59th Street. while I was still in school, I did a show called What We Know off Broadway. And I've done a number of off-Broadway things. But it all sort of started while I was up at Vassar and coming back and forth. It was a good place to be because it was far enough away from the city that I wasn't really here. But I could take Metro North train down and be here in an hour and a half.
Do you remember how you heard about it? I mean, so you're this sophomore up at Vassar College, but do you see, like, a flyer, or did you see it online, or how'd you hear about the audition?
No, it's truly like the right place, right time kind of story. I had applied for a summer job working at the theater company in Connecticut that happened to be in the town that one of my good friends lived in, and I thought we could hang out all summer. So I applied for this summer job, and, you know, you had to audition for the apprenticeship, and they liked my audition, had me come in for their main stage show, and the casting director cast me as Benvolio in Romeo and Juliet, which was awesome. This was going to be, like, my first professional gig.
Right.
And then a week later, that same casting director called me and said, hey, we actually have this other project. It's called the Untitled Tina Landau Project, and I think you might be the right shape for it. So they
sent me an email.
Yeah.
They say, you look a little square.
You're a little square. Yeah, you're square.
It's hip to be square.
Yeah, exactly. So they called me in. You know, I was like a total fresh face. They really took a chance on me. And fortunately, I got cast after, one call back. And I've been brought along ever since.
That's so great. Do you know how much longer you're going to play the role? Or is there anything else on the horizon? Or you just focus on this for now?
I'm sort of focusing on this for now. I'm at least here for a little while, hopefully as long as I can be. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I'm working on some things that I'm writing. Writing is a really good show activity because, you know, I do the show 8 shows a week, but then during the day I can be quiet and sit at my computer and write.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of projects in the pipeline, a musical that I'm workshopping, a couple of screenplays, hoping that, you know, that's something that would be sort of next on the horizon as well.
That's awesome.
But for now, I'm here and happy to be.
Absolutely. Well, we encourage everyone. I mean, D.C. is not, it's not that long. You can get up there, drive it in like 4 hours or train it and even less. Fly.
Oh, man.
Everyone come up and
buses,
see it.
It's so easy. Hey. I used to do that trip, you know, 20 times a year.
Yeah, exactly. So, just before we hop off here, tell our listeners here who might have, you know, families, might have young kids that would love SpongeBob, or even older people that grew up with it, like, you know, you and I that would love to see it too.
Yeah.
Explain why it's no excuse and why they should come on up to New York and see it.
SpongeBob SquarePants is actually like nothing else you've ever seen on Broadway. And the only place you can see it is up in New York on Broadway. So you should jump on a bus or on a train or drive up here, whether you have young kids or, you know, you just want a weekend away. It's a show that's like really great for everyone. And I'm not saying that because it's like a kid's show that parents will be okay with. It's like really a show for everyone. We have so many adults who come to the stage door who say they've never seen the cartoon, they did not come with kids, and they absolutely adored it. And I think it's because it's a thoroughly unique experience, and it's a show with a lot of heart. So it is worth your trip, and while you're here, you can grab a great slice of pizza.
Exactly. Well, we will. We're excited to see it, and I know for myself. Well, to quote SpongeBob, "I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready."
That's good.
I think of it. Honestly, it's so weird. I think of that pouring coffee every morning. It just runs in my head.
You sound like you're a genuine optimist, just like SpongeBob. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly, man. Well, if you indulge me, Mr. SpongeBob in character, are you ready for the Tonys?
Oh, I'm ready for the Tonys. That's about as much as I can do before I've warmed up for the day.
Thanks, man. No, you rock. Congrats. We love seeing local people go on and do big things. So we're going to all be pulling for you, and good luck at the Tonys, sir.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you. Have a good one.